And his kingdom shall have no end. His kingdom shall have no end. This is one of the things that we confess in our creed, the symbol of our faith, that Christ's kingdom is without end. But today, on this glorious feast of Pentecost, or also known in the Western, especially English tradition, as Whit Sunday, we celebrate the inauguration of Christ's kingdom and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. It is a kingdom that will not end. Hallelujah. In fact, if you look at all the great institutions of the world and organizations, even those that lasted a long time, I mean, even the Holy Roman Empire, which lasted nearly 1,000 years, all these human institutions eventually came to an end. Our nation is being threatened right now, and I pray that we will not see the end of what we knew to be a God-blessed nation with everything that is happening with the violence and the polarization. But the reality is that one day this nation will come to an end as we know it. The most venerable of institutions and organizations. I remember seeing in my great-grandfather Jordan's home, him having a large picture. It was a panoramic view of hundreds and hundreds of men in Roanoke, Virginia. And these were members of the International Order of Odd Fellows. The International Order of Odd Fellows has very nearly died out. As grand and as pervasive as it was at one time. You see, within human institutions, there is a temporality. We can't say that it is without end. But we have been joined by virtue of this day, by virtue of Pentecost, into membership of a church that is born, and a one holy Catholic and apostolic church that is ushered in by the Holy Ghost who descended upon those apostles 2,000 years ago. But I think that what's insightful for us is to understand a little bit about the Jewish celebration. Pentecost is actually the Greek rendering of the feast. The Hebrew word for the feast was Shavuot. And if you remember, going back to the book of Leviticus, there were three principal feasts in the Jewish liturgical year that required pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They required them to make sacrifice. The one was in the early spring, which we know was Passover. It was at the harvest of barley. And then 50 days later, again, this is what God had ordained in the book of Leviticus. 50 days later, that is to say, 7 weeks plus one. 7 times 7 plus 1. That is on the 50th day. And we see this pattern in the Old Testament. If you remember, one of the things that God had ordained for the Jewish people was that they would plow their fields, and on every Sabbath year, the seventh year, they would allow it to rest, to lie fallow. And after 7 years of Sabbaths, that 50th year would be what? The year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. So Pentecost, Shavuot. Shavuot is a jubilee of sorts. It is when the Jews would come not with their barley harvest, but with their wheat harvest. And the ancient Jewish tradition was that King David was both born and died on Shavuot. This is why St. Peter, in his sermon at Pentecost, made direct references to King David in his preaching. Not only as Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, as being the fulfillment of Joel, what God had foretold by the prophet Joel, but it was also tied to this messianic age that came down through King David, our Lord being descended from the line of David. And so we begin to understand that as the Jews, as all these from many nations gather together, from various ethnic groups united under one faith, they were still divided in terms of nations, in terms of their language. And so all these groups from Carpathia, the Medes, the Cappadocians, the Arabs, and so forth, had gathered together in Jerusalem for Shavuot. And we know that the disciples, they were gathered together in prayer, awaiting the fulfillment, the inauguration of Christ's kingdom, the inauguration of the church, the messianic age, when as they were praying, the Holy Spirit came, the book of Acts tells us, like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire alighted upon each of their heads. Their baptism of fire that St. John the Baptist had foretold had come. The seal, the gift of the Holy Spirit was born in them. And they began to speak in other tongues, such that all those in Jerusalem could hear them giving glory and praise to God in their own language. And we understand that one of the things that happens, one of the theological significance of Pentecost, is that in Christ's fulfillment of his earthly work, and Pentecost marks that time in which he fulfills his earthly mission, now his presence, by the presence of the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit that has come to them, that is now giving them insight, spiritual insight like they had never known. The ability to discern and to understand and to keep God's word, to proclaim the glory of God with fire and power and conviction. There was in this a reversal of what happened at Babel, the Tower of Babel, or Babel as it's sometimes called. When God, in the pride and sinfulness of the people, confused their languages and divided the nations according to tongue. But in this messianic age, in the age of Pentecost, with the birth of the church, nations are now united again in one faith, one hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you what Jesus said in our gospel lesson from the 14th chapter of St. John. And this really entails some of the aspects of this kingdom that has no end, the perpetual nature of God's kingdom, and the marks of that kingdom within us. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Pentecost also reveals the triune, more fully reveals the triune nature of God. That God is not just one person, but he is three persons revealed in one God, one nature, one divine nature and essence. But Jesus is saying that we will come to you. We, not just the Holy Spirit, but we will make our abode with you. We become temples of God. But he says, if you love me, you will keep my word. But he also says the negative to that. If you don't keep my word, then you do not love me. You see, to the extent that we struggle in keeping God's word, to the extent that we are not obedient to what God in Christ has revealed as the Word of God, is the extent, if we're honest, that we do not love Christ. We don't love Him. We cannot love Him and be true to His Word, to keep His Word as that precious treasure. But our Lord goes on to say, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," and that's why the Holy Spirit is sometimes also referred to as the Spirit of Christ, even though it is a separate person of God, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." The Holy Spirit teaches. It is by virtue of the Holy Spirit that I stand here before you and expound the Word of God, Scriptures. It is because the same Spirit which inspired the writing of Holy Scripture is the same Spirit by which we as a church interpret and understand the meaning of God's Word and the implications in our lives. But he goes on to say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus is saying, by the Holy Spirit, he is delivering divine peace to each of us. Not as the world tries to give. I preached a little bit about this last Sunday, about the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome being the unifying force of the Roman Empire. But remember, we are talking about a kingdom, this kingdom, the kingdom of God, a kingdom that will have no end. And one of the things that unifies us besides love, our love for Christ, which is manifest in our love for one another, but the peace of God that comes to us. You see, the peace of the world that our Lord is referring to is the counterfeit peace. It is a peace that Jeremiah spoke of when, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, "The people say, peace, peace, when there is no peace." All that we're seeing in our country and with revolutionaries and so forth, there is a desire, a want for peace. When nations are at war, there's talks of peace, but it really is a counterfeit peace, because true peace can only come from Him by way of the Holy Spirit, a peace that brings our heart into union with Him. Saint Seraphim of Sarov, the great 18th century monastic and saint, said this. He's quoted many times. "Acquire the peace of the Holy Spirit." That is, acquire the peace of this Holy Spirit that comes at Pentecost, that comes to each of us. Acquire the peace of the Holy Spirit, and thousands around you shall be saved. Thousands around you shall be saved. I first learned that saying, that quote, when I was visiting the Hermitage of the Holy Cross in Wayne, West Virginia, over 11 years ago before my entrance into the church, when Father Seraphim, who was at that time the abbot of the community, told me that. Saint Seraphim understood that it's not just peace in terms of our own personal tranquility, but it is the peace of God manifest in a way where others see the holiness even within the turbulent world in which we live. To not let our hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are marks of a Pentecostal church. And yes, the Orthodox Church is the original Pentecostal church. We continue to manifest the glory of God. And not only the gifts, but in the fruits of the Spirit. And bringing salvation to individual members, but salvation to the world. We become priests to this kingdom. This kingdom of God, which was ushered in at Pentecost. yesterday, we experienced, praise be to God. We had others experience their own personal Pentecost. They're here today. Justin, Lisa, Lewis, Anna, Elijah. Ayana, by the way, took the name Anna if you weren't here yesterday. Ayana experienced her death and burial and resurrection and baptism. But following her baptism, all of them, not only were joined to the membership of the church, but they were taken back 2,000 years ago to this day, to Pentecost, where tongues of fire fell upon them, where in receiving the chrism oil, they received the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a church that continually renews herself. Yes, we may see ebbs and flows locally and within the ages, but we are a part of a church, part of a kingdom that shall have no end. It is the Holy Spirit that endues that life within us, that brings us the glory of Christ. Let us go forth rejoicing in this occasion. Let us go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit as we continue to help make up that church, that kingdom, which shall have no end. To His praise, honor, and glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.